Welcome, everyone. I am really excited because today I'm interviewing my good friend, Ellen Etoff, who happens to be known as your genie for electrifying soul-connected sex. And we're going to be talking about 7 easy ways to reignite your sex life. We're going to discuss how to re-envision your sex life. And throughout this discussion, she's going to share with you creative ways to get your brain and body back into the game. Plus, she'll be sharing specific tips and solutions for busy people so that you can have more passion and more fun in your love life. And at the end, stick around for this, she'll be leading us through a guided experience to help open up your orgasmic energy centers. But before I get her started here, I'm going to give you her background. So she's the founder of Ecstatica.com, and her mission is to help you experience lifelong electrifying sex with a spiritually connected soulmate. And who doesn't want that? She's a sexual healer and a hypnotherapist, and she has a master's degree in East-West psychology. She also has over 30 years' experience in holistic health, and she's a trained practitioner in lots of different energetic and somatic modalities. In 1998, 7 years after she started working with clients on sexual healing, she suddenly began having dramatic personal encounters with sexual spiritual ecstasy. They were so dramatic that she became a research subject in a nationwide study on people who experience transcendent sex. Since she was already working in this realm, the researcher asked her to figure out how more people could actually have the same kind of extraordinary experiences that she's having. And this led her to spend years researching how to cultivate the powerful energies of sexuality, how to have an undefended heart, and to reverse engineer the conditions that make ecstatic lovemaking possible. She successfully delivered the results in group workshops and in her lovemaking enhancement program that she created, one that you can use in the privacy of your own home. She calls it the 4 Keys to Sexual Ecstasy. Now, long fascinated with the interface of science and spirituality, Ellen is unique in her field in that she incorporates subtle energy tools and vibrational frequencies, and these actually include sound and colored light, and then she also has products to enhance sexual passion and deepen intimacy. She includes tools like this in group programs to enhance sexuality and intimate communication. She also does private sessions with clients to help them release sexual and relationship wounding. And she has stuff that I'll admit Brian and I use, which is her cutting-edge music for lovemaking, which is infused with auditory pheromones. And these stimulate passion, deepen intimacy, and enhance spiritual connection in bed. So welcome, Ellen.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being here.
Oh, it's so fun, and we just love your music.
And you didn't say who you are, an Arielle Ford.
Oh, okay.
I just want to emphasize that, you know, your latest book that I've been privy to the to see the, you know, before published version on Turn Your Mate Into Your Soulmate is just a terrific resource, and I think everybody should read it.
Thank you. Thank you. So I know that you are going to give us 7 amazing tips. But before we get into that, let's talk about how can we re-envision our sex life. So whether we've been with somebody a year or 30 years, we all know that at some point for most people it gets a little dull, it gets a little routine, or there's so many resentments that get built up, nobody even wants to have sex. So what would you share with the audience on how to re-envision your sex life?
Well, I like to take it to a, and I think that more and more people want a bigger vision of their sex lives than just, you know, going through the routine and each person ideally having at least one orgasm and then you're done. There is nothing wrong with that. But we get to a certain time in our life and in our relationships where it's sort of like, well, is that all there is? Could there be more? You know, and if there is, like, what could that be? So especially for people who have been in long-term relationships, on one level, you may not be having the sex you imagined having when you first fell in love, or the sex you first had then, or the sex life you envisioned carrying forward in your relationship. But the truth is, much more is actually possible than when you first fell in love. Hopefully, if you've been together for a while, your love is now deeper, and it actually has the potential for depth and transcendence you may not even realize is possible yet. So, as you said, my mission is to help people enjoy lifelong, electrifying sex with a spiritually connected soulmate. So I'm really about combining the sexual and the that soul connection, or the spiritual, if that's what, you know, however people
So quick question. So for those who don't quite understand what transcendence is, can you give us more of a description of, like, what would that look or feel like to have transcendent sex?
Excellent. Okay. So there was one definition for the research I was involved in. It was a very much a psychological definition. But I think a more relatable definition kind of is in line with what the French philosopher Pierre Teilhard de Chardin said. He said, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And when we share the visceral, electrifying, full-body, orgasmic pleasure with a partner while maintaining a soul-connected, even spiritual experience, it's an experience of oneness that I feel transcends the everyday personality. And for me, that's the ultimate. So for me, transcendent, it's not really going beyond the physical. It's really incorporating that very physical, embodied pleasure, that very human side of us, with our essence, that part of us that's kind of indescribable, that part of us that really goes beyond the physical, that is the spiritual, or that soul that we want so desperately to connect with another person, in addition to connecting with them on the physical level.
So it sounds like you could have a transcendent experience with or without an orgasm.
Absolutely, yes. You're right. And I think, you can have a transcendent experience carrying out the garbage. It doesn't have to be about sex at all. And, of course, people, you know, meditate for years trying to have these transcendent experiences. And I've had this sort of thing happen myself, you know, alone, a solo experience unrelated to the physical, unrelated to sex. But since we're talking about sexuality, I believe that one prerequisite for transcendent sex is that we have to tap into and maintain the passion. That passion is that very human quality. It's an expression of our vital life force energy. And sexual passion is sort of like the most. It's sort of like that energy from which we're all born, from which everything alive really is originated. So to me, the word electrifying, I use the word electrifying because it's very physical, because you can feel electrifying in your body, like even with minor shocks, like a little shock of static electricity after shuffling your feet on a synthetic carpet, or a more major shock like touching an electric fence or being struck by lightning. You feel it, and yet you can't see electricity because electricity is like energy in motion. So I think it's really about the passion and about the energy and about that other part that's sort of unseeable but is definitely extremely powerful. And likewise, let's talk about just orgasms. Like, orgasms are both physical and energetic. Like, there's the physical part is the contraction of the pelvic floor and that, you know, that tension that builds up throughout our musculature, and then eventually that release. but it's also potentially a wave of energy that begins at the base of your spine and travels up your body and out the top of your head. And it's, you can experience that energetic orgasmic energy for prolonged periods in a sexual experience, or, you know, alone or with a partner. And you can have it with or without those physical pelvic floor contractions that are scientifically, you know, medically considered an orgasm. And in my opinion, together, that's the best. That's fantastic. And that's, you add to that, to answer your question, you add the physical orgasmic contractions, you add the energetic orgasmic wave pulsing through your body, and ideally both of you together if you're with a partner. And then that open-hearted sort of soul connection, and even a connection with a sense of being one with all that is, like being that primordial sexual love energy just happening, like God pressed out into human form, God expressed, that's, to me, that's transcendent. That's the ultimate.
That makes so much sense. So I know that you just don't work with cognitive information. You also work with subtle energy. Can you tell us what that means and how it can help our sex lives?
Well, yes. You see, well, first of all, it's difficult to translate between cognitive energy, like reading a book or hearing instructions. That goes in at our mental level, our cognitive level. And for most of us, it's a little difficult to translate that into our physical and emotional experience. So that's why I work with subtle energy tools, because let me use the analogy of something grossly physical, like lighting a fire. So if you create the kindling and you get the flame going, and you put a log on some kindling, you can light a fire and you can burn that fire, that wood, and it's going to create heat. It's going to create a lot of heat, right? And the more logs you pile on, the more heat it's going to create. But on a more subtle level, if you go to the atomic level of that wood and split an atom, it's so much more powerful. That creates an atomic explosion. And if you go to even a more subtle level and take and find the neutron within that atom and split that, that creates a neutron bomb, a nuclear bomb. So it's like the more subtle you go, the more powerful it is. And in my experience working with people, the more rapid results one can experience.
Yummy. All right. Well, let's
maybe not nuclear fission, but
no, I like the whole nuclear explosion possibility. That's, you've got my attention. All right. So take us through these seven tips and let us understand how we can start putting the boom back in the bed.
Okay. Oh, I like that. So, the first one is really to reengage the chemistry that brought you together in the first place. You know, everybody talks about, you know, we had great chemistry, or they're just, you know, he was, you know, great on a list, on my checklist of what I wanted, but we just didn't have chemistry. So there's this inexplicable thing. And brain science, I'm very much into how the brain science and neurology and hormonal systems affect our love lives. And the brain, this is particularly from Dr. Rick Hansen, a psychologist and the author of The Neuroscience of Zen, and he wrote several other books on brain science. But basically, he has a great little analogy. He says the brain is like Velcro for the bad and Teflon for the good. And that means that evolutionary-wise, we've learned to really stick and remember all the negative things so we can look out for danger. And the good stuff just kind of slides off like Teflon. For example, if you go to your, like an annual job interview, not interview, but your monthly job, your annual job assessment with your
performance
boss.
Review.
Performance review. There you go.
Yeah.
So let's say there's 20 items on the review and 19 of them, your boss says, oh, you're doing great. And one of them is, quote, needs improvement. So when you go home, you're driving home, what's going to stick in your mind?
Right, the worst thing they said.
That's right. And the reason I'm telling you this is because this is what happens in our relationships. So, you know, we fall in love, we have all this chemistry, we're in this early stages, that honeymoon period, and eventually, you know, life takes over, and we are looking at our partner or talking with our partner when a lot of what might be considered negative stuff happens, when there's stresses, when there's work stresses, family stresses, health stresses, when you have to move your home, that's always stressful. All these different things that happen, we start associating in our brain synapses with our partner, with the person we're with at the time. And so that becomes sort of like the Velcro for the bad or the negative. And so there's a couple things we can do. One is don't assume your partner knows that you love and appreciate them and finds them attractive. So you have to really override that negative. You have to really every day affirm to your partner not just that you love them, but also things that you appreciate them, things you have gratitude for. It can be things that have to do with their physical sensual being, like I just love how I feel when I, you know, when you have your strong arms around me. I love that twinkle in your eye. I love the way you tell me you love me. Whatever it is, I love that we hold hands in the movie. And also the larger things about your relationship that you appreciate. So that helps, you know, on a consistent basis to reinfuse the positive, because you know it's not going to stick like the negative. And another thing that's really great to do, the first is on a regular basis, that you do that every day at least. But another thing you can do with your partner is just block out a little bit of time and actually reenact the scenario when you first fell in love or when you first felt sexual attraction. Now, when you fell in love with your partner and when you felt sexual attraction may be two different events. In fact, they may be two different events than what your partner remembers or experiences. So you may have as many as four possible scenarios, but you literally want to act out, like, let's say a friend introduced you at a dinner gathering, and you might want to imagine like how you first saw each other across the room and when they introduced you and, you know, the way you looked at each other when you sat across the dinner table from each other and the posture you were in, how you held yourself, whatever the flirtatious looks were. Try to reimagine what you said to each other. You can actually start to reconnect your brain synapses to reignite that feeling of that attraction.
And wow, that's cool.
Yeah, and I've run a lot of people through this, and it's a very powerful exercise to do. And it can be fun. I mean, you can be playful about it. You know, you just kind of want to exaggerate and be an actor in your own life scene. And but it has a very powerful effect of reconnecting those brain synapses to help you reestablish that chemistry and override a lot of the more mundane or negative things that might have happened in the meantime.
Perfect. So what about tip number two? What do we do for that?
Okay, so you might have heard something like this, but it's really to carve out time for your sensual life together. You know, life gets in the way of passion. You actually said in your book that your grandparents may have had more sex than we do today.
because
of all the things that get in the way of television and social media and computers and all the things, all the social life that we have. But, you know, it's really a point well taken. And if you don't carve out time to be sensual together, it's really easy to lose touch with that. So, and this is not, I'm not talking about just a conventional date night where, you know, dinner and a movie or getting together with friends. That's great to do. But this is really carving out at least 2 hours a week, ideally on a regular time frame, like every Friday night, you know, from 8 to 10, whatever it is you're going to commit to have sensual time together. It's an erotic date. And you may not end up having sexual intercourse. But it could be that you light some candles and some nice music. You might take a bubble bath together. You might put some towels over the sheets on your bed and massage each other with oil. It might just be that you lay together and cuddle and talk, but something that involves some degree of sensuality. And we often think that, oh, you know, if you plan ahead, there's no spontaneity. And if you think back when you were first dating, you actually, you planned time to be together.
Right.
And the anticipation actually, especially for women, is a level of foreplay. The anticipation starts to get your body and brain geared toward the anticipation of pleasure and connection. And if you open yourself to that possibility and you set aside the time to be together, you may or may not have sex, but you give yourself the time and space to let spontaneity and sensuality take you to wherever it does. And again, just and ideally, if you start thinking about it a couple days in advance, you might want to put a note in your partner's sock drawer or their briefcase or, you know, next to the bathroom sink or the bedside table, something that says, I'm really looking forward to our erotic date and here's what I'm thinking of doing for you or to you. Or you could do this in a text or an email or a phone message. But it's kind of the idea of, again, kind of revisiting an aspect of those early courtship times.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah, just to, but really to carve out that time. To, and it's once you get it started, it's really valuable. And it can really carry you through the times when you don't feel good, when you feel stressed, when neither one of you feels like really doing it, but you just get together. And if nothing else, you just lay together and hold each other. But at least you've got that time. It could be that you read erotic stories to each other. It could be that you watch an erotic video, or it could be a chick flick that you watch. You know, it could be that romantic. It could be like experimenting with a little porn together. You know, whatever it is, but anything that is devoted just for you,
or go visit the sex toy store together and pick out some toys.
Absolutely, that's a really good idea. But then you still have to spend the 2 hours at home together in that private.
Yeah, you
got to
take them out of the bag.
Yeah. Wash them up, get it, put them into action. That's right. Have them available. So, yeah, so the bottom line is just really, this is what keeps you from being just roommates or companions. It's the sensuality in your life and the sexuality that makes you intimate partners as opposed to just roommates. And carving out that time is really critical.
Okay, I love that. What is tip number three?
Okay, so tip number three is being sure that the woman is fully engorged before you have vaginal penetration, whether it's manual or intercourse. And this is not to say that you should never have quickies. Sometimes quickies are a great way just to keep things cooking. And yes, you can just, you know, lube up and have a quickie now and then, especially if you and your partner have different levels of libido and you want, you know, it's something that will help, you know, you want to support your partner, a male partner, if it's a man. But for really passionate sex, a woman needs to be fully engorged. Like a man has to have, he'll have better sex if he's got an erection, right? And this is partly facilitated by that anticipation of your erotic time together. So that just actually starts to move your energy into your pelvis. But there are things that a woman needs a lot of mental, emotional, and physical stimulation. The mental, like women's sexual energy is like water. It moves from the top down or the extremities in. Like if you're laying down and you had your arms and legs up in the air, you want to start with your head and your feet and your hands and move toward the core. Because what often happens is a woman, if you get, if you have sort of direct, quote, erotic or sexual contact to the breasts or genitals too soon, even if you feel like you're really interested and want to go there, there's, for I have not met a woman yet who doesn't admit that she has kind of a, if it's too soon, it's almost like an involuntary contraction that you then have to kind of overcome to move on to the next level if it's too soon. Now, we don't realize that this happens when we're dating. When we're in a, when you're really attracted to somebody and you've got chemistry and you're really looking forward to the potential of taking it to the next level, or even if you've been sexual, you're looking forward to the next time you're going to be sexual again, there is this anticipation, and this is actually foreplay for women. Men don't realize it. But if you're going to start with a woman and you've been together for a long time, you need to recognize that her sexual energy moves from the extremities in. For example, kissing and or holding a woman's face, having your partner hold your face in his hands and just look you in the eye before he kisses you, that starts to connect on another level that starts to warm your heart. Or, you know, that proverbial kiss on the back of the neck when you're on the computer or cooking in the kitchen or something, you know, that sends a chill down most women's spines. And it starts to connect you with your body. But even just words of affection and appreciation start to send a woman's energy out of her head and into her heart. And then once you're really feeling connected in your heart, then your energy can move down to your pelvis, and then your legs want to open. But you really need to encourage your partner, whether it's with those toys you just bought at the adult sex store, or, you know, manual or oral stimulation. You really need to have plenty of engorgement, meaning the blood needs to be flowing into a woman's pelvic tissues before she's really going to have a great time sexually. And the clitoris is like just the tip of the iceberg. The legs of the clitoris really go deep inside and kind of wrap around the vagina. And when a woman gets really aroused, her labia get kind of puffy and pink, and the legs of that clitoris inside start to swell or get erect. And that creates more pressure on the vagina. And there's a point at which a woman will tend to feel almost like an ache, a physical desire for penetration. And that's when it really is the great time to actually have penetration. And most people in long-term relationships kind of forget about that and have penetration soon enough that it's harder for a woman to really have the maximal passion and pleasure that she could have. So,
okay.
Full engorgement before penetration.
I got it. Makes sense. So what is tip number four?
So tip number four is to get out of your head and into your body for sex. Several years ago, I did a little survey, and I had about 1,000 people respond, pretty equally men and women. And I had, 20 questions and a lot of, multiple choice. But then I had an open-ended question. And then and I analyzed all the open-ended questions. It was really interesting because the men would say, if I could just get her out of her head and into her body, that would take care of it. That would resolve the sexual problems, right? And you know what the women said? Their biggest problem was?
What?
Getting out of their head and into their body.
Okay.
It's like both
how does
people
one do that?
How does one do that? So part of it is what I was just describing in terms of the sexual energy flow and moving from, expressions of affection into the heart and then down into the body. But there's some specific things that a woman can do. And one is to talk graphically about your physical experience, what turns you on. Like, for example, and I hope it's okay here to get kind of graphic,
sure,
but
but
for example, let's say your partner's caressing you, and you can say, "Oh, I love the way you circle my breast before you get to the nipples." And this, you can't say that without focusing on your physicality, right? Or you can say, "Oh, I love the way your tongue does such and such." Or if you're having intercourse, you can say, "Oh, I love it really." God, it's so hot the way you fill me up, or I feel the warmth of your cock inside me, or oh, when we turn to this angle, it just opens up a whole new dimension inside me. So you can't say those things when you're in your head. You actually have to be focusing on your body in order to come up with those, to focus enough on your physical and pleasure sensations to have something to say. And so people say, oh, I don't know how to talk dirty. So this isn't talking dirty. This is talking physical in a way that's a real turn on for both parties, because it's a turn on for a woman to focus on her body. And then when she says it to her partner, it's a turn on for him. And then if he would start talking about what he feels like, oh, the softness of your skin, I just really feel enveloped in it. Or you can even talk before you get to the real sexual part, just like, oh, I just love the strength of your hands as you grab my butt, or, the weight of your body on mine makes me feel so feminine, or anything that helps you describe your physical experience and your sensations of pleasure will help you get out of your head and into your body. And there's another thing, and that is that, and this is hard for a lot of women, it's hard for a lot of men too, actually, but exaggerate your vocal response. You see, your own voice actually helps you get into it. It's like, for example, if you were watching a horror movie and you scream, what does that do? What does it do to your body? If you can imagine, maybe you don't watch horror movies, I don't either, but no. If you see something horrific in a movie, you cringe, and you might even scream. And when you do scream or cringe, that it has a physiological response. And it creates like an adrenaline rush and a tension. So in a similar way, like, remember the movie, that iconic scene in the movie when Harry Met Sally with Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal?
Right.
She's
faking an orgasm in the deli.
That's right. And she's going, this whole thing is like, oh, and she goes on and on, and she goes, yes, yes, I'm getting close, and she keeps going on and on, and people are like staring, and she's having a great time, and Billy Crystal is like dying a thousand deaths of embarrassment. But of course, at the end, then the woman across the way, she says, I'll have what she's having, because, it's so exciting. And when you let yourself make these noises and actually exaggerate your experience a bit, it actually has a physiological effect on you, and you start to feel it more when you let yourself make the sounds that go with it. When you have the moans and groans, you actually start to feel it more, and it gets you right out of your head and into your body.
Cool. I love that. I'll let you know how it works.
Okay. You're going to have to send me an update.
All right. What is tip number 5?
Okay. This one is to forget the golden rule in bed. I know that may seem like blasphemy. So the golden rule, for those who aren't familiar with it, is the idea that do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason this doesn't work in bed is that it tends to be nonverbal, and we tend to do to our partner what we would want them to do to us. So let's say your partner is touching you with too much pressure, and you'd like a more gentle caress, or like your fingers grazing across the surface of your skin, or just something softer and more sensual. So what we tend to do is like, oh, well, he'll get it if I just do it to him the way I'd like it, then he would know what that feels like, and then he would want to do it to me. But the problem is, men and women, especially when it comes to touch, have evolved differently. So men, evolutionary-wise, biologically, have developed a tougher skin. They've been more exposed to the elements in, ancient history. And so they actually need firmer touch to really feel it, to really feel pleasure. And women whose bodies have tended to be more protected from the elements throughout millennia, actually sometimes we're almost difficult to handle the stronger pressure. And we like those softer sensual experiences. So what happens is if you touch your partner in the way you want to be touched, it might actually feel almost ticklish to him. And so what he does in return is like, oh, she doesn't get it. I want firmer touch. And so he gives you firmer touch. And so it's this vicious cycle down the wrong path. So instead of the golden rule, we want to adopt the platinum rule, which is do unto others as they would want you to do unto them. So basically, instead of doing to your partner what you'd want, do to your partner what you know they want. Now, this may require some conversation at some point, but you can experiment with your partner, like with a man, start giving him firmer touch, and, you know, almost, you might feel like it's almost too firm or scratches that are too intense or whatever it is. And then if he doesn't get it in return, that you don't want that necessarily for yourself, then you might just say, oh, can we try a softer touch, or how about a, you know, a gentle caress? And that takes it a long way. Another way to, I can't help giving more than one tip per topic.
Oh, we're not going to limit you here.
Okay. Another one is to teach each other how you like to be kissed. Because typically couples who've been together a while kind of start defaulting to their most, I don't know, they just kind of default to one style of kissing or just a couple styles of kissing. And sometimes that's not even either partner's favorite way to kiss. And kissing is so important, and it's something you can actually do when you're not in bed. In a private situation, oftentimes, it's something that really is a great precursor to sex. It helps stimulate your passion. And it's just that wonderful sensual connection that's so personal. So you can invite your partner in a way that's not demanding, but you can say, you know, I love kissing you. And I think it would be fun to explore different ways to kiss, even if we don't end up liking them as well as our usual, but it would really be fun just to explore. So how about if we like teach each other some different ways we'd like to be kissed? And so then you establish like partner A and partner B for purposes of this conversation. So let's say you're partner A. So you kiss partner B in the way that you'd like to be kissed, and then he or she mirrors back. They kiss you back in the way they think you just kissed them. And then you might need to say, okay, that was great, but how about a little firmer, or a little less tongue, or a little more tongue, or whatever it is. And then they repeat it till they get it close enough, and you go, great, okay, now you teach me a way you'd like to be kissed. And they kiss you, and then you try to emulate that and receive feedback until you get it right. And then don't just stop with one each. I suggest you really start to get playful now, and you try different things. It could be like licking around the edges of each other's lips, or you could do the upside down kind of Spider-Man kiss where one person's laying down on the couch or the bed and the other person comes at them from the head, so that you've got your eyes are like toward their chin and your mouth is toward their eyes, and then your upside down kiss. It feels like kissing an entirely different person. So there's just this exploration will then expand your kissing repertoire, and you're more likely to get more of the kind of kisses you each want, especially if you then discuss which ones were your favorites. So again, that's about moving away from the golden rule and moving toward the platinum rule, so that you're touching and kissing each other more in the way that the other person really wants and desires, and in return, they would do the same for you.
Awesome. Love that. More kissing to come. Yay. So what's number six?
Okay, six is to conquer molehills before they become mountains. And one of these is really, I mean, the larger body here of information, which is too big to get into in a lot of depth, but it's really about not telling each other what you really want in bed, not really sharing your intimate desires. You know, the unfortunate fact is most people find it easier to talk about their sex life with a stranger on an airplane than the person they sleep with.
Say that again.
Most people are more comfortable talking about their sex life with a stranger on an airplane than they are telling their lover, the person they sleep with, what they really want and desire.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's really difficult for most people to talk about what they really want and desire with their partner, especially after they've been together for a while, because you get into sort of these almost like unspoken agreements about the range of your sex life. And, you know, like if you do two circles and one of them is each person and you overlap them a bit, then it's the place where you overlap that's sort of like your acceptable sex life together. You might each have other things that you'd want to try or have experienced before, but it's only the part that overlaps that's really the sort of the acceptable area for both of you that you even delve into. And often you don't even discuss some of the other possibilities. And it could be something as simple as wanting to be kissed differently. Or it could be something a little more exciting, like wanting to visit an adult sex store, or even something like watching, let's say a heterosexual couple watching gay porn, like to see two women, for example, making love with each other, because that's something you can say, oh, like a woman really understands how a woman wants to be made love to. So you could point to your partner and say, I mean, point to something for your partner saying, you know, isn't it interesting how she touches her? I'd really like to experience that with you. It doesn't mean you're into that particularly with somebody of the same sex or anybody other than your partner, but as a way of describing it. So the point I'm trying to make here is that most people are afraid to discuss what they really want and need in bed. And here's something very simple and very common. This is so common that so many people experience this with their partner. And I call it the touch trap. And this is one of those molehills that can become a mountain if you don't catch it in time. And this is, let's say there's two people in bed, say partner A, partner B, and partner A would really love to just kiss and cuddle and go to sleep wrapped in each other's arms. And so they kind of move in to cuddle and start kissing partner B. Partner B takes that as a signal, mistakenly, as a signal that partner A wants to have a full sexual experience. If partner B is too stressed out or too tired or doesn't feel well, they may back off and actually reject the offer that's being made, not realizing that it was just an offer to kiss and cuddle, which they might have been great with. Partner B might have been delighted to have. But if they back off, then partner A feels rejected and is less likely to try that the next time. And then the next time that partner B, you know, makes an overture for actual sex, then it just becomes a mire. And I just, so many couples experience this. And the solution is so easy, which is just to talk about it. It could be something as easy as, you know, you could have a verbal signal or a tactile signal. It could be that, you know, if you start to cuddle and kiss each other, that's all you really want unless you tap them three times on the butt, you know, whatever it is. Or it could be that, like, or you could say, can we just have a little kissy face and cuddle before we sleep? Or if you want more, you can have another phrase for that. But does that make sense that people can get into that trap? Yeah. It's just a very common trap. And so it's just really important to kind of notice those things happening. What happens then is that both people end up going to sleep facing the opposite wall when they would really love to just connect. And it starts to create this chasm between them, which is what becomes the mountain. The molehill becomes a mountain. Takes them down the wrong path. So the bottom line is communication.
Yep. Yeah, that kind of really necessary component in every relationship.
It is.
So what's the seventh and final tip you're going to share before you take us on this guided experience?
Yeah, the final tip is really to consciously expand your sexual technique and repertoire, because, you know, we often get into routines and patterns with our partner, and it's kind of a certain comfort level. But the brain likes novelty. It's like if you hear, you know, white noise in the background, maybe a mechanical noise, it could be irritating at first, but eventually you get used to it. And what works in the past relative to pleasure and sexuality may not continue working if it's kind of routine and expected. So it's really important to recognize that this happens, and also that we go through different stages of our sexual development and evolution, even as adults. There's hormonal changes, you know, there's the ups and downs of stress in life, there's women's cycles, monthly cycles, and the cycles over a lifetime, there's children and, you know, birth, pregnancy, the whole thing. These get in the way. So some little examples of things that would be about expanding your sexual repertoire would be something as simple as trying some variety in during intercourse with thrusting patterns. For example, most people tend to get into a typical long, deep stroke. And there's other possibilities, like the tip of the penis and the outer edges of the vagina have a lot of nerve, have the most nerve endings, whereas the deeper regions of the vagina and the shaft of the penis have more sensitivity to pressure. So there's some variation built in. So you can have short, shallow thrusts, which stimulates these high nerve-rich areas, or you can have deep, short thrusts. So you go in all the way and then just pull out like an inch or so in and out. So you've got some like deepness, and that creates a certain kind of pressure. So if you vary these three types, just these three simple things, short, shallow, deep, short, and long, deep strokes, that can create some variety right there, and you create different sensations. Another might be to change the angle of penetrations by propping up cushions underneath one person's hips, or, you know, propping up one person's hips like a woman's hips at the edge of the bed where a man is kneeling or standing. Of course, then there's always things like, you know, taking classes or learning, you know, more possibilities to expand your sexual repertoire. But it's really important to consciously keep expanding it. And I do have an easy button for better sex, which is what you mentioned in the beginning, my music for better sex infused with auditory pheromones. And those are resonant frequencies that I couldn't believe when we first created it, the kinds of things that happened. But I get people all the time telling me that, you know, we've been together 29 years, we really had blahs in the bedroom, and all of a sudden I'm having multiple orgasms for the first time in years, and my husband was able to last longer, or people are feeling a deeper emotional, heartfelt connection, opens up the heart centers and the passion. So that's just an easy button, you know, musicforbettersex.com.
Fantastic. Musicforbettersex.com. What a great URL. So tell us about this guided experience and how long it is and what it's for, and then let's do it.
Okay, so basically what happens is as we go through life, we kind of get suppressed or squelched, especially through our family, through our culture, through sort of the collective wounding, and so to speak. So, you know, we go to speak our truth. We observe, as a child, we observe something going on in the family, and everybody tells us to shut up. You know, it's like, we don't talk about that. Or, you know, we just go through life, and all kinds of things sort of stimulate guilt and shame, or inhibition toward expressing ourselves verbally or sexually or whatever, and then we go through experiences and our heart gets broken, and we tend to be maybe less likely to want to love again, or we protect ourselves, we create armor. So all of these things happen. And the ultimate goal in releasing and clearing out this energy is relative to what I referred to in the very beginning, the orgasmic wave or the kundalini energy, you might have heard it called. And it's very like a baby who is just laying down and breathing naturally has this kind of wave action going on through their body very naturally. And as we grow up and life happens, we get more stiff. And as we gradually open up our energy channels, when we are stimulated sexually or erotically, or that vital life force energy starts to pulse through us, whether it's sexual or not, there's a natural wave that can happen, and it's very pleasurable, and it can be quite contagious with your partner. So this, and most of what happens that we consider love, great sex, and passion really happens at an energetic and subconscious level. And that's why I put a lot of attention on energy in my work. So this exercise is not going to, you know, necessarily stimulate your kundalini energy, but it's just sort of a taste of beginning to relax into and open up some of those areas where we may have been blocked or inhibited.
Mm, sounds well worth doing. And how long is the process going to be?
Well, you know, I haven't exactly timed it, but probably 15 minutes or so.
Oh, okay. And do we need to close our eyes?
Yes. So if you're driving, definitely do not do this. Pull over or come back and revisit this at some point when you're not driving. And what I want to say is, you know, so many people are familiar with the seven chakras. And I'm going to actually have us visualize 11 colors because there are areas that our energy gets blocked kind of between the chakras even. And so I'm not specifically going to focus on chakras, although I will refer to regions of the body just for reference points. But I'm going to ask you to envision colors, and we're connecting with the energy of the color, and just kind of just take a first sort of toe in the water experience of releasing some of the energy around that and moving toward the positive, because each of these energy centers has a kind of a theme, and the theme can get expressed in sort of a repressed manifestation or in a fully expressed or positive life engaging manifestation. So we'll just do a little with each of these. Okay? Mm. Sound okay?
Sounds great. I'm ready.
Okay, great. So first, let's just let ourselves relax into it. So let's take a few deep breaths. So breathe in. Hold for a moment and then relax. And let yourself just stay in that exhale for a moment until your body naturally wants to inhale again. And then when it does, inhale. And exhale, relax. And one last time when you're ready. Inhale. To the very depths of your belly. And exhale, release. And I'd like you to tune in to like the base of your spine. If you're sitting, it's that place at the very base of your spine, kind of inwards between your vagina and your anus, the perineum area, which is where you're really connected to the earth. And it's really great to imagine that you're sending like a plumb line, like construction, if you hold a weight at the bottom of a string just to see what's directly straight down. Imagine you've got a plumb line going all the way to the center of the earth. And just keep inhale and exhale and just allow yourself to release and connect into the earth. And imagine if you can
the color ruby, like the gemstone, ruby, that deep, dark red. And this is the color of life instinct. And on the positive end of the spectrum, it's the desire to live, and it's that stability and rootedness. And it's about sensory awareness. And what I'd like to release is any sense of numbness. Sometimes that comes with shock, and it can stimulate our survival instinct or insecurity. So we want to just breathe in and release down into the earth any sense of shock or numbness, any insecurity. Breathe again and just release down into the earth anything that doesn't feel safe. Just let it go. The earth can absorb all of that negative energy. And now breathe up and in from the earth, that Mother Earth nurturing energy. Just breathe in a sense of safety and security and a desire to live. And exhale and relax. And then keep breathing up and in from the earth, that sense of aliveness and sensory awareness. Just that human side of life. Just yummy being aware of all of your senses, being here in this body on this earth with an unrepressible desire to live. So just breathe in all those wonderful life qualities of life and awareness, sensory awareness, and then just breathe out anything in the way of that. And now let's move up just slightly, very close to the same area, but a little bit above, to where you can envision the color red. And now we're talking more about a rich red, more of a fire engine red or a stoplight red. The color of passion, Valentine's heart red, the color of passion. And still connecting in with the earth, just recognize that this vital life force, this passion, is really a source of sexual pleasure and euphoria and purpose in life. And what often gets in the way of that is the other end of the spectrum, like anger and rage and sense of danger. And it's not that we don't want to feel these things. It's unexpressed emotions that often put a cap on our passion. So we want to get in touch with any anger that's in there that's kind of being held in that energy center, the red. And if it's there, just let yourself feel it for a moment. And I want to ask you the question is, are you willing to experience this feeling, whatever it is, 100%? Just allow yourself to feel it for a moment. And then let it go down that cord into the middle of the earth, where it can be absorbed. And you might want to imagine this channel into the earth actually expanding to like the trunk of a tree or a tube that you can flush these energies down into the earth. And then you can also, it's a two-way street, you can bring that earthly vital life force up into your body. So as you release any sense of danger or risk down into the earth, then start to breathe in that sexual pleasure, purpose in life, a sense of passion, and let that come up through your body. Let it come up and move into your belly, up and into your heart, into your throat and into your head and out the top of your head, where it connects with the heavens, so to speak. So now we're creating a channel that goes all the way from the center of the earth up through your body, up into the heavens above. And just allow that energy, that passion. Passion can be anger, it can be passionate love. So just recognize that and let the anger be felt when it's there. And when it's ready to be released, let it just flow down into the earth. And then let that vital life energy come up from the center of the earth into your body, circulate through your body, out the top of your head with a sense of euphoria and purpose in life and passion. And now, moving up to the area between your reproductive organs and that perineum, it's a little bit below your pubic bone. And it's a red-orange color. It's between orange and red. And it's a very powerful energy center, or a very powerful area in which we hold a lot of guilt and shame and inhibition and a sense of excess responsibility. But it's really a color of freedom. And on the positive end of the spectrum, it's about spontaneity and creativity and childlike playfulness, all those qualities that make us feel free. And so let's tune in to that color of red-orange between the base of your spine and your pubic bone. And just see if there's any guilt or shame or inhibition residing there, or any sense of excess responsibility. And just see what's there and breathe. And whatever's there, just allow yourself a moment to feel it, knowing it's not going to last long. Just let yourself feel it. And then you can thank it and acknowledge that you felt it if you have. Acknowledge that it's there if you haven't. And you can revisit it if necessary. But for now, let's just allow it to flow down that channel, that pipeline, into the center of the earth, and allow the energy of the earth to move up through you into the base of your spine, up into your pelvis, into your genitals, your whole reproductive system, your digestive system, up into your heart and your throat and out the top of your head, and just let it fill you with a sense of spontaneity and creativity and childlike playfulness and freedom. And just breathe in that sense of freedom and breathe out anything in the way of that. And now let's move up to the color orange. And this is a little above your pubic bone, the area of your reproductive organs internally. And orange is a really great color for self-esteem. It relates to, on the positive end of the spectrum, self-love and a sense of assertiveness and self-concept and confidence. And on the downside, it can relate to passivity or a sense of inferiority. So let's tune to that color orange, kind of that Halloween pumpkin orange. Let it brighten. And allow yourself for a moment just to notice if there's any inferiority or passivity residing there, lack of confidence. And just allow yourself to feel it for a moment, recognize that it's there, And when you've let yourself have a sense of it for the moment, just allow it to flow down that channel into the center of the earth and allow that beautiful Mother Earth energy to flow back up with positive self-esteem and self-love and assertiveness and a sense of strong self-concept and flow all the way up through your body, infusing your entire being with a sense of positive self-esteem and flowing all the way up and out the top of your head into the heavens above. And just reside in that sense of self-confidence and worthiness. And worthiness to experience sexual pleasure. And worthiness to experience love and connectedness. And now let's move up and tune in to the area of the solar plexus, right there, kind of around your navel. And for you, it may be a little above or below. That's just fine, wherever that is. That you feel kind of that sense of empowerment, that place where we hold our power. And power can be either end of the spectrum, as you know. It can be corrupted power. It can be a sense of powerlessness, helplessness, or even panic. It's also where we can hold resentment or frustration. And on the positive end of the spectrum, it's a color of hope and the potential for letting go and being flexible and being truly empowered and optimistic. Again, that hope. So let's get in touch with that color yellow, that bright sunshine yellow. And just let yourself notice what's there relative to the issue of power and hope. And just notice if there's any sense of resentment or frustration or helplessness. And just feel it, and then knowing that the earth can absorb it, send it all the way down to the base of your spine into the earth, where it just spreads and is absorbed in the earth. And then allow that Mother Earth energy to flow back up with a sense of hope and flexibility and empowerment and just the ability to let go into life as it is, to accept what is as it is, and go with the flow, with optimism and hope. And just allowing that yellow, that sunshine yellow, to emanate throughout your whole being and to just spread into the environment around you as it also continues up your spine, out the top of your head. And now let's tune in a little bit farther up. This is between your solar plexus and your heart, the color yellow-green. It's kind of a very, the color of new, like on the tip of a pine tree, a fir tree, when the new little needles come out, there's kind of this yellow-green or that sort of chartreuse color. And it resides there between your solar plexus and your heart. And it's really a color of peace. That's the theme of this color. And it's also a place where we might house jealousy and envy. You've heard the term green with envy. That's where this comes from. It can have to do with jealousy, adversarial relationships. It can also be where we hold that sense of abandonment if we've experienced that, and issues of deep hurt or separation. And on the positive end, it's where we can experience compatibility and real acceptance of love and a sense of union with others, and that sense of peace in our relationships. So let's tune into that place. It's sort of just below your You know where your ribs come together in that xiphoid, right there in that where your diaphragm is. And just breathe into that. And just see if there's any residual of jealousy or envy or fear of abandonment or hurt or separation. And just allow yourself to feel it for a moment. This is the feeling of it is important, because if we don't let ourselves feel it, then it comes at us from unexpected directions. But if it knows that we're willing to feel it when it comes up, then it's just healthier and we can keep the energy flowing. So in this very moment, whatever you feel there, just let yourself have it. And then take a deep breath. And on the exhale, let it flow down into the earth and be absorbed there, releasing all the hurt or jealousy or envy and abandonment and separation. And then breathing up from the earth that sense of connection and acceptance of love and peace and union with others, union with our heart and soul and body within ourselves, and union with others, and with our, union with our sense of the divine, and let it move all the way up through your body and out the top of your head to where you can feel that connection with the divine and with yourself and with all that is. And feel that peace, that compatibility. Okay, moving up to the heart. Green is often associated with this chakra. So moving into your heart center, naturally the color of love, the color of love and all its manifestations. And on the negative end of the spectrum, this can be a sense of loss of affection, deprivation of love, or loneliness, grief. And on the positive end of the spectrum, it's fulfilled love and affection and appropriate affection and inspiration, because this includes the lungs. And the word inspiration comes from the Latin spiritus, spirit. It's like when we inhale, we're inhaling spirit. So let yourself connect in with that beautiful green, that spring green color in the middle of your chest, in your heart. And just allow yourself to feel any loneliness or loss that may be there, any sense of lack of connection or grief even. Breathe it in. Let the inspiration of the breath expand your heart to be bigger than the loss or the loneliness or the grief. And let those emotions, if they're there, flow all the way down your body and into the earth where it's absorbed, and then allow that energy of the earth to come up through your body and filling your entire being with love, with self-love and love for others and fulfilled affection and awareness of all the love that you've ever received, all the love that you're receiving now, all the love that you receive from other people, all the love that you receive from the divine, from God or spirit or universal consciousness or whatever that is for you, that soulful love connection. And let it flow out the top of your head where you truly connect with the divine and all that is. And just breathe in that love. As you breathe in, let that love expand throughout your whole body so that you are being love. Okay, now I'd like you to focus on the area above your heart, just below your collarbones, And imagine a beautiful aquamarine color, a blue-green. And this is the color of wholeness. This is a great color for integrating mind, body, and spirit. The sort of downside of this realm is extreme intellectualization, which we often get into in this culture, or detachment, or even unawareness of ourself, inability to really be in touch with our bodies, our somatic awareness, our pleasure. And then on the positive side of the spectrum, it's full self-awareness. It's awareness of our body, our emotions, and our spiritual side. It's a confluence or harmony of all the aspects of ourselves. So as we focus on this beautiful blue-green color emanating from this area above our heart and just below our collarbone, notice if there's any sort of detachment or tendency to intellectualize more than being in touch with the body, any lack of connection with our emotional or physical awareness. And as you look at that and you just allow that to be whatever it is, once again, just allow that to flow down your body and into the earth. And now allow Mother Earth and that beautiful, nurturing energy to come up through your body. And as it comes up, to bring with it like full awareness of your physicality and your feet and your legs and your hips and your torso and your musculature. And it goes up into your heart and your lungs and your shoulders and down your arms and up into your head, so that you're really aware of being here in your physical body and at the same time in touch with your feelings, your heart, and your sense of your essence, your connection with spirit or the divine or all that is, whatever that is for you. Just breathe it all in, this sense of wholeness, the sense of harmony, of awareness of the confluence of mind, body, spirit. And just allow that energy flow to continue up and out the top of your head. And now let's focus on your throat and your jaw and your mouth. The blue, beautiful blue color, vibrant blue, a jewel tone blue, just beautiful blue color. And this is the color of joy. And yes, it's also the color of expression or inexpression. It can be the energy of distorted communication or introversion or the inability to articulate what you want to say. It can also be a color that relates to dependency, and it's not just the color, it's the energy of it. And on the positive side, it's healthy expression, healthy contact with others. It's expression and independence, along with the ability to be interdependent and just to be purely joyful and expressive. So as we tune into this energy center that includes really your throat and your jaw and your mouth and your vocal cords, just tune into anything that might be in the way of your joy and your self-expression. Anything that could distort your communication or lead you to be inarticulate or a little introverted or dependent. And just allow that awareness. And breathe into that awareness. And then exhale it all the way down into the earth, deep into the earth. And allow the energy of the earth to rise up through the base of your spine and into your body, all the way up into your throat and that beautiful color blue, and just to allow you to experience and expand that sense of joy and healthy self-expression and healthy contact with others and beautiful communication, beautiful articulation and perfect communication and interdependence. And then just continue that energy on up out the top of your head and into the heavens above. And now let's focus on the center of our head, where the pineal gland lies. It's often known as the third eye, the sixth chakra. And let's focus on the color indigo, that sort of almost dark, the late dusk, almost dark time of night, where the sky turns that indigo blue, that deep, dark, almost purplish blue. And this is really the color of insight and understanding and peace and clarity and intuition. And on the downside, it can be a sense of confusion and inner conflict. And when it's out of balance, we often feel overwhelmed. So just notice if any of those feelings are there, any of those senses of confusion or conflict or overwhelm are happening in this moment. And then when you've allowed yourself to notice that and feel anything that's there, breathe it in with a sense of allowing. And then exhale all the way down through your body and let it flow down into the earth. Just clear out anything in the way of clarity and understanding and peace. And then let that energy flow up from the earth all the way up through your body into the center of your head. And let that beautiful indigo light just expand and fill your whole head and emanate out from it, with a sense of understanding and clarity and insight and peace as it continues to flow up through the top of your head and into the heavens. And our final color will focus on violet, beautiful violet, the color of faith, really. The color, the connection with spirit and trust and vision. And then, of course, the other side, the flip side, is mistrust or worry and inability to let go. So just notice if any of those qualities are there, the mistrust or the worry or the tension that prevents our letting go. Take a deep breath in. And then on the exhale, allow it to flow all the way down again into the earth. Just releasing anything in the way of total trust and faith. And then breathing it all the way up from the earth, up through our body. All the way up to the top of your head, to the crown chakra, that place where the baby has a soft spot. That connection with the energies of the universe, the divine. And just breathe in that sense of faith and trust and just letting go into life and spirit. Just connect with that. And as a final little piece of this, what I like to do that you can do any time as just a kind of a personal reset or as an entry point into meditation. And that's really to bring all this together in a very simple three-breath process. And the first breath is now to inhale as you, I'll just describe it, then we'll do it. The first breath is to inhale as you bring all that love and light from the divine above down into the top of your head. Let it circulate around your heart. And then exhale down through your body into the earth below. On the second inhale, we breathe it in from the earth. Let it come up and circulate around the heart, because the heart's really the center of all of this. And then exhale out through the top of your head into the heavens. And then on the third in-breath, we breathe it in from above and at the same time up from below, so that the energies of spirit and the earth meet around the heart and circulate around the heart and then expand in all directions like a giant sunshine that just expands in all directions. So let's just do that once. I usually do it three times, but for now we'll just do it once. Let's just, on the inhale, breathe in all that energy that you've sent above and just bring it down through the top of your head. Circulate it around your heart. And exhale down all the way into the earth. And now inhale all those wonderful energies up from the earth and let it circulate around your heart. Exhale up into the heavens above. And on the third breath, breathe in from above and below simultaneously. So all these energies, these yummy energies, circulate around the heart. And on the exhale, let it expand in all directions in a giant sunshine of love and energy. And this is a beautiful way to connect body, mind, and spirit. And as you continue to do processes like these, it starts to open up that energy flow so that when you are really connected with life, including in the process of making love with yourself or with a partner, that these energies that are so natural and actually emanate from the base of our spine and up through our bodies and out the top of our head just start to naturally flow and ultimately allow us to have an experience of that orgasmic wave.
Well, I feel like I'm a vibrating rainbow of circulating energy.
Well, you are. You are all the time anyway, but we just lose track of it. So that's one way to connect.
Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. My total pleasure.
That was really both healing and invigorating. I'm very energized.
Oh, wonderful. You know, I actually use colors like online or through, you know, equipment and so forth. So it's like these colors are very powerful. I actually had a woman doing this kind of thing where she hadn't had a menstruation for 2 years and she suddenly started her periods again.
Wow. That's
just releasing the energies.
Well, before I let you go, Ellen, will you share with everybody your free gift of the 60-second Passion Igniter? Tell us what it is, what it does, and how to get it.
Okay. What it does, it's a 60-second practice you do each day with your partner. And it actually, and I've had put lots and lots of people use this, and the results are truly amazing. And what it does is it sparks the passion with your partner. It jumpstarts a woman's libido. It can help a man actually have firmer erections and last longer in bed. And it intensifies your emotional connection. And you don't actually need to do this in bed. You can do this anytime fully clothed. So this is something that's so easy to incorporate in your daily life with your partner. It takes just 60 seconds. And I'll tell you all about it and how to use it in a very simple way. And all you need to do is go to 60secondstopassion.com, and that's 60, S-E-C-O-N-D-S-T-O-P-A-S-S-I-O-N, 60secondstopassion.com.
Mm. Well, thank you for that. I can't wait to check that out as well. That was wonderful. And thank you for this amazing time together. Really, really, all the seven tips and the beautiful guided imagery and your free gift. So, Ellen, you're amazing. You're awesome, and I'm very grateful to have spent this time with you.
Well, Arielle, it's a mutual admiration society because I so appreciate the opportunity to do this with you and for all of your great works and the great books you've put out and the service you've offered to so many people. So thank you so much for allowing me to be just a tiny part of that.
You're welcome. All right, everybody, I hope this really got you motivated to reignite your sex life. Thanks so much for joining us. See you next time.
Yes, thank you, everyone.